Welcome, Legends, to the Hubcast, your central hub for everything Apex. A podcast by fans, for fans. Tips and tricks, deep dives, and everything you need to know from your first drop to that last head pop.
What's up, Legends? Welcome to the very first episode. I am your host, Nick. Here with me today is my co-host, as always,
Nate. I thought you were going to say my name.
Say my name. All right, so before our jump master drops us into Kings Canyon, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Apex Legends Cast. That's Apex Legends Cast. Or you can follow our production company, TX3 Productions, on Twitter, or ThreatX3 Productions on YouTube, where you can find the video version of this very podcast, where you'll have in-between scenes and extra content, plus hopefully video gameplay in the background or something like that, maybe. So we're going to get started with this very first episode. Obviously, we need to get some impressions out of the way. We've played several hours of it now. This was definitely dropped out of nowhere, and so let's get our impressions out of the way. Real quick, give me a quick synopsis of what you're thinking so far after your first couple of hours of playing.
So far, it's a battle royale that I can see myself spending a lot more time with. I have spent a good bit of time with Fortnite, mm-hmm. as well as Blackout, and although this game is very specifically squad-based, there's something about it. I guess it's the Titanfall blood in it, the Titanfall DNA, but it just keeps bringing me back to it.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. My focus is more on the team play aspect of it. I like the fact that, and we'll get into it more when we really diving deep into the unique features and everything, but I really do like the class setup. I like the fact that you're forced to be on a team, because that to me really shows that they're trying to make something new rather than just like, you know, Blackout, which everybody loves it, you know, everybody liked it when it first came out, but I feel like it really fizzled afterwards, and it was because it was just nothing really unique about it. It was right. PUBG that actually worked, and so a lot of people liked it for that reason, but that's pretty much it. Whereas this feels new, even though I've played hours upon hours of Fortnite, hours upon hours of Blackout. This feels fresh because of the classes, because of the team aspect of it. It's no longer a choice. It's 100% you need to be in a team. And I like that. And it also kind of bodes well, at least in my opinion, you can disagree if you want, but it also kind of bodes well for like esports. I feel like team composition is definitely something that you see a lot of. Like, Overwatch is a really good example with their Owl League or whatever. And obviously it's all about team composition there. So,
right. I can agree 100%. And here's the thing that's, I find very interesting about this game is the type of multiplayer player I am is very much lone wolf focused. Uh-huh. You know, jumping into Black Ops 4, I played it lone wolf, even though they want you to play more as a squad. And so I don't typically like to play squad type games just because I'm on my own time. But even playing with randos, it was still like fun. It was still fun. And the whole time I was being strategic. I was like, all right, nobody's picking lifeline. Let me pick lifeline so we can at least have a medic on the
team.
Right, right. You know, things like that was really getting me more involved in the game than I thought I would be.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to have this first episode is going to be kind of your beginner's guide, as well as obviously our impressions right there at the first. But let's get into like the beginner's guides, the fundamentals of the game. Once again, this is no kind of lone wolf game. From the way you drop to the way you communicate, everything is better in threes.
Now let's talk about what you'll do from when you first drop to that last head you pop. You drop in as a group, or you can split off. It's totally up to you, but don't be that dick that breaks formation.
Right.
I mean, because if you go down, what really motivates other players to come after you? I mean, we experienced that a lot whenever we were playing.
Yeah.
We would have one guy that would just drop off. It's like, all right, dude, like, I guess we'll go get you.
Yeah.
And then he would die. And I'm like, well, I mean,
we we could have picked up your thing, but it's like, I'm good.
Right.
Then in typical Battle Royale, you have to go around scavenging, which brings us to the guns and the gunplay, and it's, you know, really good. It's phonetic. The movement style is absolutely top notch. And you use a combination of your found equipment and the class skills that you have to be the last team standing.
Right. So some of the unique features about this game is what really makes it more of an iteration rather than a clone.
Absolutely.
You agree?
Yes.
Now, there are three main features that make this a completely new idea and not just a battle royale with a new skin.
Yeah, and I think those would definitely be class-based characters, team-focused gameplay, and unique items you cannot find anywhere else.
And that's the thing we want to stress so much about this game, is it's all about the team, more specifically, team composition.
Yeah, and this game doesn't even really give you the choice from the very beginning to not go in as a team. There's no solo queues, there's no duo queues, and it's really the only way to play. Now, there are definitely some people out there, and I find this a little weird, but there's definitely some people that think this is a negative, but the entire game has clearly been built from the ground up with balance in mind, with team composition in mind. So it's the point. So it frustrates me a little bit to see somebody like, oh, where are my solo cues? Where are my duo cues? It's not the point of the game. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like if they did have that, then they just accuse them of being a skin, right?
Well, so I can kind of see where people are coming from simply because of what I said at the top of the fact of I mostly play Lone Wolf. Like when I played Fortnite, I played solos. So there was a part of me today, actually, that really just wanted to play by myself and just kind of get that feeling of the gameplay in.
Right.
But, you know, I couldn't. So I just, you know, ran through it and I ran with more randos. Now, the whole thing with the team composition is very clear from the moment you start the game. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to be with their class selection, which brings us to our first point of class-based characters.
Yeah, you are put into the selection screen at the very beginning to select your character. As you're selecting, you can see what other people are kind of hovering over with 1, 2, and 3. And so that means even without a mic, you can kind of know what everybody else is going to choose. And that's obviously really good.
Which, and this is a point that we'll get into a little bit more, but something that I'm already enjoying about this game is, especially if you're coming just from being a console player, all the features they're giving you work well and make sense on a console.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
Like you were saying with hovering, you know, over. So even if you didn't have a mic, you could see what everyone else is picking. It's small things like that.
Definitely.
Now you do need to think about what characters complement each other. Like I said earlier, the squad that I was with, nobody picked Lifeline. And so I was like, well, let me be that support character just in case we need it.
Yeah. Because every character obviously has a passive, has one passive, has one active, and then an ultimate. And so each one really acts a completely different way. Even though you all have the same weapons, you can all be rocking, you know, light SMGs, or you can all be rocking, you know, shotguns. It doesn't matter. What really makes each character different is the passive, active, and ultimates.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is Realm Royale the only other game with classes?
Yeah, but in Realm Royale, this is kind of ultimately pointless because you can carry any gun, and even the traversal, which is like what you get at the very beginning, like the mage can like float or something. The warrior like does a big leap, and the rogue, I think, does a dodge roll, but you can equip those to any of the characters. So really, it's just minor buffs to each character. I mean, and that's just, it doesn't really feel like a class so much as it is, you know, oh, do I want to use more assault rifles rather than a staff?
Right, I get that. Well, you know, here there are very clear differences between the characters, you know, and I've seen a lot of people compare this to Overwatch. And while, you know, I would like to judge this as a game, as a separate game, this kind of commentary does provide a good shorthand way of describing kind of the skills and the abilities you'll have in the game. I mean, Overwatch is the best comparison, you know, that or something like a MOBA type hero shooter is the best tag you can give on this to explain what kind of battle royale game it is.
Yeah, because like other class-based games, how you build your team can be just as important as like the guns you choose to use.
Yeah, it's definitely a good idea to try and take a look at all the classes and the descriptions before you start in the matchmaking process. Now, I tried to do this, but I tried to do it from the training because when I finished it the first time, you know, they get when you start the training, you start as Lifeline.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, let me pick another character and jump back into training. And every time I went to training, it was just with Lifeline. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just basically went through and I looked and kind of tried to get a good representation of what that character's abilities would be.
Right. I personally am trying to make myself choose three characters, and that way, just in case I'm the third person with a bunch of randoms and somebody picks my primary, somebody picks my secondary, I still have that last choice that I can still feel very comfortable with.
That's definitely something I agree with. Now, let me ask you, as of right now, what are your three?
Right now, I feel like my three is Lifeline if there's not a healer. Wraith if there's not an assault. And who's the big Samoan motherfucker?
Gibraltar.
Yeah. Gibraltar is definitely, you know, those are my main three. And then I guess the other, like my fourth, if I feel like it, is the other girl assault person.
The soldier?
Yeah, because she has, like, the smoke or whatever. But even then, like, the smoke and the wraith have such similar. The only difference is the ultimate. The ultimate is either a teleport or, you know, freaking artillery, so.
Right. So, for me, from the time I played with it, my two for sure are going to be Wraith and Pathfinder. Pathfinder, because I used the hell out of the grappling hook in Titanfall 2, and I think that some of his other mechanics work very well with your team. Mm-hmm. Wraith is, it kind of has the same thing. They're both very traversal characters in some of their abilities.
Right.
And my third is going to be either Bloodhound or Lifeline for kind of the reasons you were saying. If there's not a medic, Lifeline would be good, but there's also something to say about having that ping ability, the enemy detection with Bloodhound. So
definitely.
Now there are, we were talking about before we went on a tangent, we were talking about kind of how to go about picking these three characters. A good remedy for that would be to play with friends rather than randos. Now it is good practice to play with randos because it can get you to try new things where you kind of feel like you'll need to, like in the heat of the moment, oh, I got to make a decision, I'll do this. Whereas when you're with friends, you tend to be more comfortable in the decisions you make.
Definitely. Well, then I think it's time to drop, which means our next point, which is team-focused gameplay. But you don't just pick a spot and go. You have one of your teammates that's chosen at random, and that is your jump master.
Which, let's just say, is an awesome title.
Yeah, right.
When it said you are the jump master, I was like, I feel so badass.
Yeah, even your character kind of makes a comment about it, like, I'm the jump master,
which is something that's also great. The dialogue in this game is fantastic. I mean, it's not just simple call outs like in Call of Duty games. It's like I like the ping system where whenever you like drop, like ping a location, like when you're dropping in, and like Pathfinder's a good one because he's so sarcastic. You'll do okay, and then you'll do it again. It's like, forget that. Never mind. And it's like the dialogue's really good. Now, of course, the whole thing with the jump master is this is the person that decides when and where you're going to drop. So basically, it's the same as Fortnite, same as, you know, all battle royales that we've had before, except the singular person in your squad is going to be the person to jump in. And then, of course, you have the added benefit of the ping system. So even if nobody has mics like you're me and I'm like, I don't want to make this decision, you can just wait a second and other members of your team will ping where they think we should go, and so it ends up working out
Right. And the thing I love about that ping system is that somebody can make a suggestion, and then without a mic, I can look at that. I can press the ping button and my character will say, okay, yes, they'll agree with it. It'll be like, confirmed, we're going to go there. And so I'm still, like, if I'm the jump master, I'm still making the decision, but it's like I'm letting them know, hey, I hear you. Thank you for your input. And that's a really cool thing, because basically when you initiate the drop, you control all three characters moving in formation. You speed up, you slow down. So from the very beginning, this game is obviously showing you it's all a team effort, because you have to press and hold a button to actually say, nah, I'm out. Bye, guys.
Now, we've said it multiple times already. One of the things that this game does very well is it always conveys from the start of the match in particular that you should stay together.
Yes.
Like you were saying, you have to physically press a button and give a notification of, hey, I'm leaving, I'm doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have that ability from the beginning.
Plus, it just looks bad that here we are in formation and there goes Jackass 92 and he's going off to the left. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
especially if you're with friends too, because yeah. Let's say you pick this squad, like you picked these abilities for this reason to be a powerhouse squad, and one of them decides to go bounce out and do his own thing. It's like, all right, cool. Just, you know, never mind us, I guess. Now, we did also talk about the ping system, but right. Another thing that you can do with the ping system is you can have just a contextual tap, or you can hold to specify. So it gives you a couple different actions. You know,
yeah.
You press it once to indicate, hey, we should go there.
Mm-hmm.
You press it twice to indicate there's an enemy, but if you want to press and hold the button, then you can pull up a wheel to pick which one you want to do. Now, the system itself is also very smart,
mm-hmm.
because, and we use this a lot when we were playing earlier, if you have, and this is one of the things I love about it, if you see, like, hey, one of our squad's missing armor, you find armor, just ping the armor, and the character will say, got armor over here,
mm-hmm.
or got ammo over here, or they'll specifically say, got a wingman, got a GS scout,
right,
they'll say
right.
the name of whatever you're pinging to. And so it not only is a helpful tool for people who don't have any mics, who can still play and still, you know, have a conversation in some ways on how to play the game, it also is a very beneficial tool for the actual gameplay itself.
Right. I feel like this, on top of dropping together, on top of having classes in general, this ping system is really the main driving force. It is trying to convey to you, talk to each other. Just talk to, in the tutorial, which you have to do before you can even play an official match, it teaches you how to do it. And I like the hold down specifically. I like some of that because it's like attack here or defend here. So like we were in this very center of like the last circle. And so I'm like, you know, I didn't have, or they didn't have a mic. I had a mic and I felt like I was talking my freaking ears off. But I held down and I'm like, we're defending this area. This is a good freaking area. I'm not moving. Of course, they ended up moving anyways, but that's not the point.
Well, what's also nice about the ping system is seeing it implemented on consoles very well. Now,
right.
I haven't seen a whole lot of systems like this implemented well. You know, of course, if you're a PC gamer, you are accustomed to this. You know, you'll have commands of like, I need ammo or something like that. Those are always been readily available. And in some ways they have on consoles, but it's so much easier to go from pressing like WASD on the keyboard to like just the control key or whatever to
mm-hmm.
give you the option to type in the chat or something like that. So seeing the ping system work almost flawlessly on
right.
a console is very impressive. Now, the last point for, you know, all the things we're talking about here is going to be unique items that you're not going to find anywhere else with this game. This is what really separates Apex Legends from other Battle Royale games.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the first things we can talk about is redeploys. These can sort of be compared to jump pads in Fortnite, because you throw down a jump pad and you can go back up and you redeploy your umbrella or whatever you happen to be using. But the thing is, for me, is since it's a part of the map rather than something you're placing down, you know, it's not a grenade, it's not a shield, it's not some, it's part of the map. And so that kind of makes it its own, you know, point of interest. And so I feel like that's a general part of gameplay, not just, you know, a jump pad you have in your inventory.
Yeah, it allows you to think a lot more tactically. You know, you drop to a site and you pick it clean, and you're like, all right, let's go to the redeploy and go somewhere else.
You know, especially if the circle's very, like, bearing down on you.
Right. It's very, very fluid.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that you have, which is going to be knockdown shields.
Oh, now, first time I saw this, I was like, what the heck is this? I died a couple seconds later, and I'm like, hold R2? What?
So with these, instead of just crawling around and being useless, like in zombies is a good example of that.
Right.
You can deploy the shield and it gives you added protection while someone arrives to heal you.
Right. Yeah, I think like common is 100, blue is 250, and I can't think of purple right off the top of my head because I don't think I've had one quite yet. I've always been blessed with... No, I've had purple. I just can't think of the top of my head. I want to say 500 because that seems like a natural progression, right? Like 1, 250, 500, maybe it's 350. I don't know, something like that.
It's probably 5.
We're the experts. We should know this.
Right.
And then, I mean, I think we're gonna save one of the best for last, and that is the respawn system. When I saw this in their like 10-minute long, you know, explanation of the game, I was like, no. No freaking way. Because, like, this is something that I've been thinking about for, like, Fortnite or Black Ops or something. Like, wouldn't it be cool if there was some reason to stay after you died? I mean, obviously, if I'm with you and I'm with Coach and I'm with anybody else on our squad, I'll stick around just to see how you do, obviously. But with a bunch of randos, what's the point of just sticking around? This gives you that point. And not only that, I feel like this is another reason why this is competitive. It makes it more competitive. So basically what you do is you go and you get the dog tags of your fallen comrade and you go to a respawn area. So just like the redeploys, this is a static location that you have to go to. You have to hold down square. I want to say it takes anywhere from like 5 to 6 seconds. So you're sitting there, no gun in your hand, and you can't even really look around, and you are completely exposed. Not only that, but then it takes a while for the drop ship to get there. So either you just leave your friend to die or you stick around, because the catch there is that you really are respawning in the sense that you have to scavenge again, you have to get armor again and everything. So it's definitely, you are coming in new, but it's really cool. And actually, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are certain matches where it'll say like 2 squads left and then it'll have a question mark over how many players. And I think that's because it's trying to tell you that somebody might have been respawned.
No, I haven't noticed that.
Yep. But it's definitely question mark, and I'm like, oh.
Well, it's another thing that adds an interesting gameplay loop as well, because, you know, you're basically gonna have to go to the central location, like you were saying, and it can add a lot more freneticness. I don't know the actual word for that. It makes the gameplay a lot more hectic because you're having to worry about someone trying to get you in this central location while you're waiting for your friend to drop in.
Right, and they could be trying to respawn someone as well.
Right, so it definitely adds another layer to it. Now, to wrap all this up, one of the biggest things that is kind of at the core of what makes Apex Legends so different is their hero shooter mentality in terms of the equipments that each class brings to the game.
Right.
So like I was saying earlier when we were talking about the characters that we're running, 2 characters in particular, Pathfinder and Wraith, they are very, very good to have on any squad if you're needing to get from point A to point B a lot faster. You know, Pathfinder, he's got a zip line, which, to be honest, after playing so many hours of Titanfall 2, it's kind of discouraging to use, but I understand because they don't want to make it so OP, because you have a pretty short distance from when the zip line can connect. I'm sorry, when the grappling hook can connect to. But the biggest thing, which is going to be Pathfinder Super, is his zip line. So in an instance like we had earlier, we didn't realize that the circle was about to be on us. It was closing in super fast. And we happened to be on a peak. And so I was like, guys, I got you. And I dropped down the zip line.
You're like, I got this,
motherfucker. I got this. Dropped down the zip line. And we're able to go directly to the circle in no time at all. Kind of the same thing with Wraith's ability, which is such a cool set, like just a cool animation. But the only problem I've had with Wraiths is I kept getting stuck in the portal. So I would go to move and walk right back into the portal. And so I was just going back and forth. But these abilities add a completely new layer to the game that we haven't seen before in other battle royales. It basically combines the best of a battle royale and the best of a hero shooter, which I guess in this comparison we use, it's basically a good combination of Fortnite and something like Overwatch.
And I'll have to say Blackout or PUBG and Overwatch, because obviously Fortnite, the number one thing that makes that unique is the building, obviously.
Right. That's fair. That's a fair assumption. I think I'm thinking more in terms of popularity, but
oh, good point. Saying. Yeah.
So that, you know, it's very cool. Like, we can gush about it all day, and you know, both me and Nick, we have a lot more time to spend with the different legends. You know, we got to unlock Mirage and things like that, and those are characters I'm excited to use. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that his ability is better than Reaper's Psychosis from Black Ops 3. Was cool, but it was, you know, it was just all right. So I'm curious to see how his will actually play.
Our last segment of the day, this will be a recurring one anytime we have some news to talk about, and that's, we have a care package incoming. So one of the first items we're going to talk about is the lead product manager, Lee, put out a statement about their principles of spending. Obviously, this is a free-to-play game. It has loot boxes, which, you know, in Belgium is sort of illegal. So what are their principles? This definitely makes me feel better about the situation, but it also, they still have EA there, but it's still... It makes me feel really good. So let's get started. Principle number one, making one of the most engaging battle royales ever is what fuels us. We want our players to stick around for years because the game will be continually growing and offering new challenges and paths of mastery. We hope at 1,000 hours in, you and your squaddies will still be discovering new ways to tackle familiar situations. So that's nice. Principle number two, we're dedicated to supporting this game for years to come. So that's self-explanatory. I don't need to go into you can read the whole article if you really want to. Principle number three, no buying game plane advantages, period. When you enter the ring, no player will have a gameplay advantage based on how much they spent. Your skill is the only thing that will get you to the highest levels of play. So this is obviously a very good statement. It's also a duh statement. Or you would think so, but then Battlefront 2.
You would think so, right.
But thankfully, it was said. That's the important thing, is that it was said. And so now, if anything ever does happen, it's like, dude, principle number three, what the hell? Principle number four. Players who never spend money still have the ability to earn cosmetics. This is really good. Obviously, it's super grindy, but that's to be expected. It's free to play. Free to play. Like, so of course it's going to be grindy. Like, you know, I'm not completely mad about this, but so it says, we believe players who never spend a dime are just as important to those who do. And I feel like that sentence is really good, because obviously they want to make money, but that sentence is really good, because there's a mentality out there. I can't remember who said it, but there's a mentality out there that when you make a free-to-play game, you need to make it as if 98% of your players will never spend a dime in their entire life. And so that sentence is very comforting when it goes to the future of this game. Because all players contribute to a healthy game ecosystem, we want to ensure every player has a chance to look swagalicious. Really, Lee? Really?
We left that in 2012.
Oh my god. That, I have to admit, that's pretty funny though.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, good job showing your personality. Principle number five, players have agency in choosing how to acquire cosmetics. Do you like knowing exactly what you're getting and what you're going to get when you spend money? The rotating shop is for you. Do you prefer getting a ton of content at once, but don't mind which character it's going or what category it is. So this is basically talking about their store versus their loot box system. Do you, because like one loot box is essentially a dollar. So, but there it's like you're always guaranteed one that's like metal parts, so you can save those up to buy something, and then one, the other two are always going to be cosmetics. So do you want to spend a dollar, or do you know exactly what you want? It's going to take, you know, 40 plus hours to get it, so do I just want to pay the money? I actually kind of like this, because obviously you get the loot boxes every time you level up, first off, and then second off, if you do want to spend less money, that's great. And then obviously there is going to be a battle pass as well, so great. Principle number six, and this is probably the most important principle, which is transparency. Tell me if this surprised you. On their front page, right where they have the loot boxes, they have the odds of getting legendary on the page. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
This surprised the hell out of me, because that information being like buried in some forum wouldn't have surprised me. But the fact that front and center on the page, right before you even click to buy something, it's telling you your odds of getting an orange. And I feel like that is a huge double, because I mean, am I being weird to think that this is usually something they have on a website rather than on the game itself?
No, that's how it's always been, but right. This is the thing, and for some people, they're going to see it as reactionary, but it's because it is. You know, we had this major shift in the industry over the past 2 years,
right,
in the whole terms of microtransactions and loot boxes, so it's important for these companies to get out in front of all this and be like, look, this is not what we're doing. Yes, they're in there, but with the caveat of there's not the way they used to be. So back in the day, yeah, you would go to forums and you would see people who did the research to see what the likelihood of drops were. But now they're saving them a lot more time and just including it on the storefront.
Right. And I feel like, yes, it's in this article. Yes, you can read it on the website, but showing it in game is the main thing. It's not some freaking grimoire where I have to go to Bungie.net and go into a couple of menus to get to.
Oh, we don't talk about this. We don't talk about this.
It's right there.
So horrible.
It is right there. That's the point. So up next, let's talk about the roadmap. Did you get a chance to check this out?
Yes.
Well, thank you for the quick response.
I did. I can't. Yeah, I can't find it now. I had it pulled up.
It's in the dock, you know, the thing we're supposed to be looking at. So basically, one of the things they were talking about.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, one of the things they were talking about is that they want this game to be going on forever. Like a direct quote was like, I want it to be 2027 and we're working on the next update. And so this roadmap is really cool. I feel like this also goes along with the transparency that principle number five that we were just talking about, because I feel like this is very transparent. It's very much kind of like you were saying, getting out in the front of it. It's like, you know, especially with a free to play game, the number one question is, why should I keep playing? And so this is showing you right here, season one, March, season two, June, season three, September, season four, December.
Not only that, but it's interesting how they've broken it down. Now, the only question that I have to take away from this roadmap, because it's not specifically clear, are they going to do battle passes like in Fortnite? Or is it just we're getting a battle pass in March,
right,
in season one?
Well, I think that since there's a differentiator of battle pass and legends and weapons and loot, what I'm gathering from at least this diagram is that the battle pass is one thing, and that's something you can get. Obviously, if it's like any other battle pass, you get free stuff, but you obviously get more if you pay. So having that as its own thing rather than battle pass, here's what's in the battle pass. Does that make sense? So like Legends isn't right in the battle pass. It's aside from the battle pass. So we're going to get new characters. We're going to get new weapons and new loot. That's not going to be locked behind the battle pass. That's what this diagraph is showing me, is that it's not telling me what's in the battle pass. It's telling me what comes alongside it. At least that's my interpretation of it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. But it's definitely cool to see them in particular. Like, you know, I think the biggest thing with Fortnite is new skins. What new skins are in the battle pass?
Right.
But it'll be exciting to see, hey, what new legends are we going to get? What new heroes are we going to get?
Right. I mean, I feel like the number one thing that is important, and I feel like they're going to be doing it, just once again, I'm only going off of this. So if I'm wrong, you know, don't quote me or anything. But going off this diagram, it looks to me that we're getting new weapons, new legends, at least, you know, every once in a while. So there's always going to be this change in the meta of the game. And it'll always be like, it'll just be fun to like jump back in and try to get this new like. I don't always want to compare it to Overwatch, but that is one thing. Like, a new character is an event. It's an event. Maybe double XP for the whole weekend and yada yada. And so I'm excited to try this out.
I definitely am too. This is definitely a game that I think I'm going to stick with a lot more. Everything about it looks like it's... And you got to keep in mind, like, I think a lot of people forget this. They're always like, man, this new Respawn game is so good. Well, yeah, that's because they're originally ex-COD 4 developers. Whoop, whoop. These guys know how to make multiplayer games. These guys know how to make gunplay feel fantastic. They know all the little quirks and all the little things they need to do to separate themselves from the rest of the crowd.
Right.
So,
I mean, how fitting is it that the people who has changed first-person shooters in general for the rest of time are also the people who very well could be changing Battle Royale.
Give these guys an award. Give these guys a recommendation, like higher than what they already have.
Definitely.
Yeah, it definitely looks like this is going to be a fun time.
Yep.
This is definitely the start of something really, really good.
And hopefully also for this podcast. I said it in our preview, so if you listen to our preview, this will be repeating. But this show will hopefully be going on for a while. We plan on doing this at least once every other week, and certain times if there's brand new news that comes out, we might do it once a week. But it's all going to depend on you guys, viewers like you. It's all going to depend on you guys. How much are you interacting with us? We hope to have prizes down the road, tournaments down the road, friendly tournaments, but also for a little bit of prize. I mean, we're still very new at this as far as, you know, how many listeners we have. So I'm excited to keep going on this, growing with you guys. So it's very important, very, very important that you guys contact us. Go to Apex Legends Cast. So that's our Twitter, or you can go to our Gmail and you can go Apex Legends Hubcast @gmail.com and give us a straight line there. There's a lot of content that's going to depend on you guys. New tips and tricks. Obviously, we're going to have some of our own, but we want to hear from you guys, and we're obviously always going to credit you. So it's like, hey, you know, Buttlicker89 sent us this new tip, and but also let us know what topics you would like us to cover, and if you just want to write in, we're going to have a section at the end to have reader mail. So it's going to really be driven by you guys. We're always probably going to have some news to talk about. We're going to do deep dives. We're going to have a little bit of everything, but it is also going to be very heavily into the community. We want to build a nice community of Apex fans, and it's cheesy, but this is very much a podcast by fans for the fans. This isn't EA sponsored. You know, if we happen to talk to EA and they want to like come do an interview, we're not going to say no to that, but this is definitely not sponsored. You know, we're not necessarily getting any money for this. So we're doing this because we really like the game, and we can't wait to make some content on it.
Right. We're not making this for us. We're making this for you guys. Just remember that. So this show doesn't grow without your support, without your feedback, without, you know, your involvement in the show itself. So that's what we really look forward to. We really look forward to getting to talk with you guys, you know, getting your reactions to things, and just honestly playing this fun ass game with you guys.
Definitely.
At the end of the day.
I mean, Six Sticks, Nate, Six Sticks, is on the PC. So if you're a PC guy, you can play out with him. I'm on the PlayStation 4. We unfortunately don't have anybody on the Xbox One, but we do hope to remedy that in the near future. So we would like to have like once every other week, or maybe on the same week that we drop the podcast, we'll also have a day that's, hey, come join us on stream. You can play alongside us, squad up with us, and, you know, make it very interactive.
Now, I will say that as of right now, because it's been a while since I've played PC, I am quite terrible at Apex Legends on PC. I'm a lot better on PlayStation, but yes, I do have it. So if you would like to play with me and maybe give me some more tips to get these old mouse and keyboard hands less rusty, I'm definitely cool with that.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Hubcast, your Apex Legends podcast. We'll see you in King's Canyon. It's gonna be legend! Wait for it!